Long ago, when the pyramids were still young, Egyptian kings played a game of great and terrible power. But these shadow games erupted into a war that threatened to destroy the entire world, until a brave and powerful pharaoh locked the magic away, imprisoning it within the mystical Millennium Items. Now, 5,000 years later, a boy named Yugi unlocks the secret of the Millennium Puzzle. He is infused with ancient magical energies, for destiny has chosen him to defend the world from the return of the Shadow Games, just as the brave pharaoh did 5,000 years ago. All right, now we're doing
it. All right.
Double trouble.
Let's go.
Just the main event.
That's right. This week. You know what? I'm sick of all these hanger-ons, these fucking ring rats and chuckle fuckers and potty bodies.
That's right. The potty bodies.
It's just you and me, baby. The real talent.
Yeah. The gruesome twosome.
That's right, baby.
We can talk about games by ourselves. Jake just answered the text and said he forgot and he's coming. So he's going to be here.
How did he forgot? He watched two episodes of Yu-Gi-Oh!
I don't know how he forgot, but he's the most informed Yu-Gi-Oh! Guest we've ever had now.
He did do Whippets at the end of last week's episode. So who's to say how much was retained?
I can't wait to edit that. What a time. All three of us were like down to our last brain cell.
I was trying to create society anew. I really didn't want to let you down by counseling, but like, I mean, I was hanging on by a thread. I was not able to be there.
For the listener's discretion, we finished the Dragon Ball Z episode this week and had like the afternoon cleared. And then Katie like looks at the camera and is like, I can't do another one of these. I'm out.
I just couldn't. Boundaries are important. You've known me long enough to know that if I abruptly jump ship like that, it's because I just... Would you rather... Listen, I'm saving you from a nightmarish second, like, 3 hours of editing. This will be slightly less terrible.
It's true. It's the work you do along the way. And now we're back. We're sharper than ever. I've got an Allagash White to keep me company tonight.
What's a... white beer. Oh, hello, Jacob.
Hello.
It tastes like you're drinking honey, Katie. Oh. A little sip of the bear.
I know nothing about beers.
It shows.
Yeah, I'm just a girl. I don't know anything about beer. We may be identical twins, but how you can tell us apart is like, I don't know anything about beer.
And I know nothing about the moon.
That's right. That's why I gifted you this moonstone, to make you more powerful.
Except that, and I did look this up. I was Googling the next full moon so I could charge my crystal, and it's this Friday. And folks, it's a beaver moon.
Beaver moon.
It's officially beaver moon. It's that a full moon, beaver. Full
that
beaver.
Moon showing full beaver, and you know what that means? It's time for another episode of Ballin' Out Game Time. Game time! Yeah. Get your game on!
I see game a time. Big beaver rising. I see
a big beaver.
Greetings, anyone?
Yes. I was there.
Haven't seen Greece, which is maybe why I fumbled the ball but we'll be discussing that.
Greece? Oh,
Credence Clearwater.
Credence Clearwater, Revival. Alex Patak.
Well, I haven't seen that either. And I know it's a band, but I haven't seen that.
Alex, how can you have this hair now and not get really into 70s dad rock?
Well, it's one step at a time. I've already... Do you know how much history I've been consuming in the last 6 months?
Yeah, you always do that, though. It's time for you to get really into, like, Steely Dan or some shit.
I have, like, whiplash from aging out of my 20s right now, and it's scarring the culture.
Oh, look who just got here to Old Town.
Yeah. I know so much about the Marquis de Lafayette now.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you're, I hate to be this bitch, but like when you're a woman, you really start feeling it when you're 27, when suddenly they're like, you're too old for me to be a pervert to anymore. Simply too many opinions. You start fading out like in that picture in a Back to the Future. Yeah. You're just right. Like,
and when you're a guy, it's all it's the other way around. You start becoming that guy and it's like, oh, I'm up in front.
Marty, you got to get back to the time machine. You're no longer a reproductive target. Old guys don't want to fuck you anymore, Marty. Not for money.
I just, you know, you just sit there and you wait for it to happen to somebody else so you could be like, you too.
You too. We should say everyone's names, as is the first part of the band meeting. Hello, it's Alex and Katie. We're twins. We're wearing matching velour suits. We're standing at the front of the casino. Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the casino. We look exactly alike. Yes. Game
time. I'm shooting you with a cologne. You don't know what it is. I say it's cocaine.
It's cologne. It's cocaine. It's both.
It's That's my startup. Why... It's called cologne cocaine.
You're going to love it.
We're figuring out the name in phase two.
Cologne.
That's good. We'll have you back for phase two. Our special guest this week, internet celebrity and comedian around the world, number one on iTunes, Jake Flores.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Thank you. Number one on iTunes. Yes. I am walking into the casino and I'm with three other douchebags and we're going, Vegas doesn't know what's coming for it. It's four douchebags.
I'm not ready.
My dad. Wait, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying, I'm not ready for these guys. No. I'm not ready. No. They're hitting the town. I thought I was ready. I'm not ready. Rubble.
Consent is all about boundaries.
No.
Did I ever talk about how my dad is very much full tilt for the last 3 years on taking me and my brothers to Las Vegas?
What?
Oh, is this your father with a problem with the storage unit?
Ooh.
A problem with the storage unit?
I see.
I think...
Well, you...
I don't know if I could say that on the mic, but I just... It just seems like a lot for your dad's particular set of baggage to want to take you and your brother to Las Vegas.
Well, his argument is... I gotta take the boys to Las Vegas and show them it's not just drinking and hookers.
what a brilliant, like,
what else is there?
Impeccable attic logic.
There's so many questions in a row that's like, why do you have to show them that? What have you been planning in Las Vegas that is going to change our mind about the reputation of the city? He's only been like twice.
This is like,
yeah, well, and I can tell you, as someone who has spent time on the outskirts of Vegas, because like anytime I've had to film stuff there, it's always like we have to stay as cheap as possible. I mean, there's nothing there. It's like really depressing suburban land development, a cool diner, and then, you know, bars and strip clubs meant for the people that work at the bars and strip clubs on the strip. Like, that's what's there. I don't get it.
I love Las Vegas. Alex, here's what we'll do. I'll dress up like you. He won't know the difference. He'll yacked out of his mind before we even get off the plane. And he can take me to Vegas and pretend to teach me a lesson about how the heart of Las Vegas is actually...
When's the last time you choked an Irishman? I feel like that's, you got to really get that practice.
That's what I was
about
to say is, Jake, if you're dressing up as me, you're going to have to do a lot of wrestling on this boys trip. It's a lot of fun.
Wait, huh? What's with the wrestling and the choking Irishman?
Well, it's me and my brothers. We're going to be wrestling.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And if you're filling my role, honestly, I'm instigating a lot of the wrestling.
Yeah, Alex has a lot of big-headed brothers and cousins.
And they don't know how to grapple. And that's how I get on the ground with them. But, I don't know. I feel you could take my place. You'd do a more convincing role as me than, like, my 22-year-old brother. But he's the one who doesn't want to go, really. So I feel like what we need is a replacement for him.
If you take, like, the gambling and the drinking out of Las Vegas, I mean, is he, like, does he want to take you hiking? Like, I don't understand.
I have to assume we're going to, like, imagine dragons on the strip or whatever the idea is, right? Oh. What else could it be?
Because, listen, Las Vegas is great if you love smoking indoors and wearing leopard print. Like, I have a great time when I'm there, but you only need to be there for like 2 days. And there's nothing else to do.
The entire premise is a farce because I'm going to be drinking the entire time. It's Las Vegas.
Yeah, you can do it outside. You can just walk around with it.
I'm going to develop a habit with cigarettes that I've never had.
Yeah, start smoking.
So that I can smoke them inside.
You just turned 30, start smoking.
Yeah.
I don't wanna, like,
fuck it. Never been a better time.
I don't want to encourage anyone to do this. This is a bad idea, but I literally just got back from Vegas. And a lot of people don't know this. I don't know how long this is going to last. Honestly, I think it's a COVID thing. You know what it costs to stay in like the pyramid, Luxor right now?
Probably nothing, $35. Man.
$35. Honestly, don't. It's like $35 a night.
But that's the thing is that Las Vegas is always really, really cheap because they just want to suck your money out. So you, I mean, that's insanely cheap, but like I've been there for not that much more during peak season.
Yeah.
Like I stayed in like, you know, the fucking funny castle or whatever for like
Excalibur.
The longer we have this conversation, it becomes more and more clear we can't afford to not go to Las Vegas.
Go.
I just feel like maybe instead of with your dad, we should take like a podcast family, like, you know, like
listen,
how companies...
my dad's gotta go. That's part of it. He really wants to go.
We gotta do team building exercises where you and I, we've been running our own casino as the identical twins we are, but we haven't scoped out the competition, nor have we done like a Rayman type card counting heist. And I feel like that really brings us together.
And I think that we can learn a lot from this trip. It's just important that we're doing our card counting heist. And then in addition, my father, Dr. Thomas Patak, is there. And he's like, I'm in on the heist. I'm one of the boys. He's going to keep saying that. That's part of the trip.
It's so upsetting.
And then I make you spend time with my strange father.
As long as it's not my strange father, I'm okay.
And then, counterpoint, you take me on trips with your father, and I don't want to go, but I have to for some reason.
This is known as dad swapping. It's a
dad swap! Good news, Alex. There is zero pressure for any trips with my father because he is agoraphobic.
Well, we can go to his house.
He's racist.
Yeah, you want to come to Long Island? Let's go.
Yeah, he's agoraphobic.
Terrified of the man.
That was one inconvenient truth. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
We're going to take this country back. Bush 2000.
Jake, were you just in Vegas for partying reasons or were you like, I don't know, opening for the Tiger Guys?
No, I was doing stand-up in that part of the country and then ended my run of shows by blowing all what little money I made gambling.
That's right,
and
baby.
I drank a 70-ounce pina colada out of a plastic jug they give you in the shape of the Luxor pyramid that lights up at the top.
You can get them shaped like a guitar or a building.
I put myself into it. I don't even enjoy Vegas really because like, so when you get the 70-ounce like pyramid slushy thing, they just ask you, which one do you want? Do you want a margarita? Do you want a pina colada? And if you had a 70-ounce margarita, you'd be fucked up, but you'd be like, okay. I didn't realize if you have a 70-ounce pina colada, that's all like fat. Like it's like,
sugar.
It's like a meal.
Yeah.
So I've been traveling.
It's a whole ass meal.
Yeah, it put me into a coma for like a day. I missed the Blue Men and everything. It was actually a terrible time.
No! Yeah.
Yeah.
The best time I had in Vegas is when my boyfriend I went with, who was a terrible man, got food poisoning. And I got to hang out by myself.
That rules.
That was a ball.
Just a lady alone at the Luxor.
Basically.
Meanwhile, he just has diarrhea in Excalibur in a castle.
Yeah, this is a very long time ago.
Whoever take the
shit
from my ass
while he was shitting his brains out. I was like, cool. I should read into this.
Well, Jake, we're so thrilled to have you on Ballin' Out Game Time, America's number one gaming podcast. And we got to know, what are you gaming lately?
Oh, I'm playing Dark Souls 3 right now. And
let's go.
Very mad at a boss I can't beat. called Aldrich, the Devourer of Gods.
That guy's hard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how far I got in that. I felt like it was near the end. I got like a bunch of the relics or whatever. I got stuck on that boss that's two bosses at once. They're like twins. They're like the Aphex twins, but they're Dark Souls.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I forget what they're called. My
I think they're the knows Aphex every single twins.
One. Hey, Matt. What's the Dark Souls boss that is like the Aphex twins? It's two twins.
The payoff on this is going to be huge.
What'd you say?
Ma'am.
Yeah, anyway, I bet you're past
turn
that.
Down your radio.
What's
ma'am?
Your build?
He knows them, but now you keep talking, so it's not going to
okay,
happen.
All right.
I have the C-word armor, which makes you look like a like Officer Burger Head or whatever. The guy with the huge head and the fat body.
Yeah, you look like the Onion Knight.
Yeah.
Smog and Ornstein. There we go. We got to there.
Ornstein. Are we a comedy writing duo from the 30s?
Hey, yeah. The part from of the Dark Souls belt. Where you just start killing two Jews.
The
Oy vey.
They're like roasting you and stuff. Oh, no. My shirt.
Take my doll, please.
It does look like I vomited on my shirt. And it's just the design. And I have my main thing is I'd souped up a really big Corvian scythe. So I look like the Grim Reaper, but I'm also in the fat suit and it's pretty cool.
Damn, playing games, a man. Scythe build is extremely advanced. Dark
so
Souls
you're
stuff.
You're doing like a real fashion souls situation.
Honestly, like kind of, but I didn't really do it on
There's
purpose.
There's nothing wrong with that.
The scythe actually, partially because I don't know how to play the game, but I think the scythe, I got good at it, and now I literally can't play it. Like, if I'm not a fat Michelin man with a Grim Reaper, I don't know how else to do this game.
I feel like it's the perfect series for this time of year, because, like, the sun goes away, and you're like, I am in a hellscape, a metaphorical hellscape
right,
of my own making.
Because all hope is gone from the world, and you're bored.
You either got to play through Bloodborne, or you got to play... Silent Hill. It's just like,
ooh, that sounds fun too.
And philosophically, two different approaches, right? Because Silent Hill, you're running away. You're running away. Get away from the trauma. Get away from the baggage. Bloodborne,
yeah, until
we're confronting
the very
these
end.
Things. Yeah, we have a whip. We have a blunderbuss.
I mean, you're confronting it in Silent Hill. You're just in massive denial until, you know, the end.
Right. Have y'all seen the Silent Hill movie?
I just watched it.
It's cool. Yeah. It's visually very good. Plot-wise, you're like, this is nonsense. But
I would
you're
call
like,
it a feast.
But visually, you're like, this is exactly what this movie should look like. I wish it was about anything.
They make the sirens very scary. There, that's all I want.
I noticed something. It's like, it goes through Dark Souls and that movie and Silent Hill. Horror video game people are very into when someone has a triangle for a hat, like a helmet that's a big, it looks like they're wearing a traffic cone, but it's made out of metal.
You know why? It's the scariest shape.
Yeah.
Name a scarier shape than a triangle.
And it's a very male shape, the upside down triangle, looking like Patrick Starr at the gym.
It's scary.
No, it can be female. Take those two big pyramid head hats, put them on your tits, you look like Madonna. That's scary.
Yeah, but it's something about the triangle. The triangle on the head is a very specific motif.
You look like a dunce, like someone made you go sit in the corner for cracking jokes in class, but now you're consumed with dunce darkness.
But then you have like a big sword, and then it's a whole new ball game. And some sick abs.
They have those in Resident Evil too. Although they're slightly different. But well, you know what it is they look like a guy where the pyramid like fell on their head and then like got up in their guts. And so it's almost like, aw.
Triangles are scary. Slithering on the floor on the belly is scary. And really big ladies are scary.
Or when also, people walk like a bug.
Or when things are wrapped in plastic for no reason.
Oh.
I'm scared.
Oh, no. What is this, an Amazon fulfillment center? Get me out of here. Stop.
Oh, wait. I have a very important segment I wanted to do for Jake, and we haven't done it in a long time, but it's time for a very quick Alex Teaches Japanese. Kokoro, so dismay.
Alex speaks Japanese today. Go, Alex. All right, let's do it. I have a Charlie horse, so keep talking.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I have a really bad Charlie horse.
I was wondering
horse
where
right
you were
now
going. Okay.
I'm here. I'm listening, but I got to stop my body from killing
why
me.
Why you got up like this?
Yeah, I just wanted to illustrate how a zombie walks.
Get some traction going. That is how a zombie walks.
It's a really fast a point, one from Katie. Resident Evil that like really is upsetting because he walks so
if
fast.
If you see a zombie,
like,
give him a banana because that's all that's wrong with him.
Is that what I need?
Yeah, some potassium.
Okay, there's one right here.
It's not like a video game. It won't immediately cure your Charlie horse bar, but it'll get there eventually.
Well, but this is balling out game time.
Maybe it will then.
This is where the banana used to be. Okay, Alex, teach us Japanese. God fucking damn it.
Japanese word for you.
Yes.
You're gonna right use it.
Yes, sensei.
And
what is it?
It is the word for skeleton.
Ooh, I love it.
Which is kokaku. And the literal translation is bone status.
That's really cool. That's
and
also
I'm a
funny
because
that sounds very close to kokoro, which is heart, right? So like
all of the words are close to each other. I've given up trying to sort things by sound.
Oh, okay.
I like
it's almost insane.
I like bone status because that you can use that to describe like how are things going with you and your person you're dating, right?
Me and my lady, we're bone status.
It's complicated. Oh, bone status.
We're
when
bone
I
status
first moved back to New York and I was slutting around, Jeremy would always ask me who I was taking to the boneyard. I really wish he used bone status instead. Much more appropriate.
Which, as we all understand, means skeleton.
Right.
Bone status. Bone I can't status wait to reach bone status and be free of this mortal coil.
Also, broken bone is bone fold, which I also like because it's kind of gross.
That's weird.
Yeah, and it is what that is.
When I die,
and it's also what it is.
And I'm a skeleton. I'm going to do air humping a lot. I think it'll be funny. I'll be like, bone status when I'm in hell with the other
bone
skeletons.
Status. Skeletons are far more erotic in Japan than they are here. They take on a whole new world.
Yeah.
There's what? There's that legendary yokai that's just like a really big skeleton. He just kind of peeks in your window.
Yeah,
like,
the share zone is an ancient myth.
Yeah, it is. A lot of people don't know, but the share zone is rooted in ancient Japanese mythology. Fun fact.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time. It's almost time to get into the thick of the show and discuss Yu-Gi-Oh! Which
game time!
Jake watch more of. Than we meant to.
Game time!
Oh, man. It was so weird.
You guys like it more or less when I was depressed? Was it easier to podcast or was it harder?
And I'm getting more content out of you, for sure.
See?
I'm having a pretty good time.
Squeeze it's like when you roll up the toothpaste bag to get, like, a little more out and it shoots, like, a fucking rope on you and you're like, no!
Yeah, that's what that's actually exactly what's happening here.
Y'all know when the toothpaste bag shoots a rope?
No. It's never happened to me. What are you talking about?
You ever get a Crest cream pie? Because that's what we're talking about.
Honestly, like, Crest. If we're comparing, no, what your toothpaste thing looks like when you're trying to get the last drop out of it is like when you're jerked off for like the eighth time in the same day because you're 15 or whatever, and there's just like a little like but with your toothpaste.
Yeah, it's like you're rolling up your dick to get the last because
yeah, you're like, there's gotta be some more in there.
I think it's better for me if it comes out. Even though it hurts now.
Oh god,
this is why you shouldn't give me 6 free hours. Yeah.
Drink water, fellas.
Fellas, if you're between the ages of 13 to 16. Thanks for listening to the show. It's, of course, time to go back to our recurring segment and the most beloved of all we've ever done. I'm, of course, referring to the game show Card Shark Tank. And the Shark Tank music plays, and sitting in our chairs.
Ooh, I'm sitting in my chair. I understand this bit that we do every week.
And also, as we established before, it's like the voice chairs where it's like Shark Tank, where people are bitching to us, but we're not facing them. And when we take a deal, it spins around.
Yes, really fast. I get nauseous. Hey, Jake, would you like to pitch it? Did Alex even tell you about this, or are we jumping in
now? A little both.
Fuck, Alex! No, all right.
We started the podcast immediately, so I haven't had time to tell you guys why I'm late. So there's... I kind of remember what you told me. I make up a game or something.
Here, I'll explain the premise to Card Shark Tank. Every week here on Card Shark Tank, Katie and I, as millionaire and billionaire investors, invite our guests in to pitch us on the hottest types of games, which we will then maybe tell them if we'll give them all our fucking money for.
We kept telling people it could be a real game. And yet they keep insisting on making them up. So
he's creative.
It's whatever
they
you need it to be.
They live or die by their little original origamis, and it's sad.
Okay, Sharks, does it have to be a card game?
It could be any game you want, baby.
Oh, any game.
Any game, baby. I'm not looking at you. I'm facing away in a chair.
But is it worth our money and time?
Okay.
Up to you.
So I've already made it clear on the game show that I am making up my game on the spot. The crowd is getting tense because they're like, what? You're not supposed to do it like this. You're supposed to have already had a plan.
Yeah.
And how's again, for everyone involved, no one has to make up any game. And it can just be any game you've played or know about.
I can pitch you just a game that I like that exists in the world.
Yeah.
Yes!
No one has done that, but I've said it every time.
We've said it every time.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to pitch... So my game, Sharks, is called Game Shark. It's not even a game. It's a thing that you put other games into.
Wait, isn't that the subscription service from like the 2002?
No. Game Shark was, well, I think there was a magazine that came with it. It was this fucking computer thing that you, it was, remember when you put games into an SNES with like a cartridge?
Right,
there was a Game Shark cartridge you put in, and then you put the other game into the Game Shark. And what it did is it gave you like a debug menu. Like you could put in weird codes that programmers would come up with to make you have like infinite lives, or
you could see all the tits in James Bond.
Yeah, or you could ruin your computer or whatever because you thought
you could see Odd Jobs tits.
You thought you were making nudity happen, but you're actually erasing all your save files because someone was hilarious on the internet. But this is my idea. So I have invented this thing that's a game of games that allows you to. It's Game Shark, but here's the twist. I know that I don't need to make up my own thing here, but.
And again, there does not have to be a twist.
it's for slot machines.
Slot machines.
No. So you're just stealing money.
How am I going to see all the tits in the slot machines?
It seems like there's not a lot of ways to make money off of this.
Well, anyone with the Game Shark for slot machines, the problem is you have to know the cheat code to give you money, but you can see tits if it's like a Game of Thrones slot machine. Okay, let me look up. I just have to subscribe to Game Shark for slot machines magazine, and then the code will come. You can see Daenerys Targaryen's tits if you put in X57123 whatever.
I'm interested.
I gotta say, this does not seem like a fully
well, it's not just about the tits, Katie. There's also stealing money involved.
Right, but there's
not a
lot of...
You can put Black Sheep Wall in the StarCraft slot machine and see the mini-map.
I'm just not seeing the long-term profitability of this product. It seems like a one-and-done situation.
I'll admit that when you started with "it's not a game" in the game in the game pitching segment, I was like, he's out. But now, I don't know. I may be back in.
All right. My game's called Zip Zap Zop. It's an improv game.
Oh, I'm fully withdrawing my money from this.
I don't know what to do with that.
I cannot support.
This guy doesn't have any ideas. He's switching around on us.
For someone who knows a lot about improv games, you seem to not be able to improvise a profitable business. And for that,
yes,
I say,
yes, Katie roast his ass.
Yeah, he's, I'm getting him.
He's chum in the tank.
Chum in the tank, baby. I'm not eating you alive. No money. Taking my money. Sorry.
Chum in the tank.
They always cut away from that part where when Mark Cuban doesn't give you money and they just open up a pit where you're eating alive.
They're so rude to them on that sometimes.
Yeah.
They'll be like, a life-saving medicine. How about I shit in your little pill and you give that to people? Because that idea is shit. I'm Mr. Wonderful.
I have never seen a full episode of Shark Tank, and I've been involved in so many Shark Tank parodies because of comedy.
It's an important institution.
Yeah. It's one of those things that comedy can't stop talking about. Like, well, I mean, at least it's like current, you know, and people will still be doing it. In like,
is it current? Is it still on?
There are channels that play Shark Tank 24/7 now.
Really?
You know, in comedy, people will go like, it looks like a Benetton ad. And then you're like, that hasn't been a thing since anyone in this room has been alive. But okay, good for you, Ben. Good reference.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter called. He wants his peanut farm back.
Hey, you look that's like a bunch of tulip eaters to me. You know what I'm saying?
What does that mean?
Absolutely.
It's a racist term for the Dutch from the 1800s.
I actually did not know that, and I will be using it.
Actually, I think it's 1700s. My mm-hmm. bad. Sorry, everybody. Because they spent all their wealth on the tulip boom, and then they went so broke that a whole art form was born from it called the Vanitas, which is these paintings about mourning their lack of wealth. So they'll be just like wilting flowers and a skull and like a pile of money and rotten fruit. And they're like, we're so sad that tulips didn't work out. We invented a type of painting.
Wow. You know what? I accept your pitch. You have won Shark Tank.
Thanks. That's right.
And that's card Shark Tank.
Talk about historical figures. Let's get into ancient Egypt. Your move.
Oh yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Hotep, you think?
He's the original 1000%.
He's 1000% Hotep. Oh,
but he's been cursed by Yakub.
He's gonna be.
Woo! Let's get
really
into it.
Political opinions.
My wife is back just in time for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Description.
I know, it's her favorite show, and it's Jake's too. So much that he watched two different episodes
Out of order and completely ruined the suspense of my favorite prestige show that I watch with my wife every week.
You'd think it would be so easy for me to send the right one, but I send the wrong one pretty regularly.
Yeah, we do blame Zane for that one time. That was all on his own. But then,
yeah, Zane watched a Dragon Ball Z episode like 100 episodes ahead.
But pretty regularly, you'll send someone the wrong episode, and your defense to me is, let's just do it anyway. And I'm like, no, we have to do it in order.
I'm going to be honest with you. This was not bothering me at all because I'm getting some weird kind of ASMR nostalgia vibe from watching this Yu-Gi-Oh! Shit. I think I might just start watching Yu-Gi-Oh!
There's something about the voice acting that is the right amount of horrible and entertaining where you're like, wrap this Speed Racer shit around me like a blanket.
Yeah, it reminded me of getting up early. Like, you know, before you had to go to school and watch, you see like half of one of these episodes and never know what's happening. But then if you were sick and you stayed home, you'd get to see like the next episode and shit. And then it would turn into court TV and you get really depressed. This all came back to me. What?
That was so jarring when it got to like 11 and Kids WB turned into just like Crime Network. Yeah. These perps have been busted.
Yeah, it was weird.
You want to see what happens when you lose at Duelist Island? Tune in to Judge Judy.
What's the title of this week's episode, Alex?
Katie, I'm glad you asked because I did forget to look it up. But
yeah, why don't you type that into your Game Shark right there?
Yeah, I'm putting it in my Game Shark, and I'm unlocking Mai's titties, and I'm saying nice. Wait, there's no way this is the right one. Oh, Duel Monsters episodes. There's a lot of episodes of Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm not sure if you guys know that.
There's so much fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're like 20 minutes long, and it's an insane TV show for
children. Well, and this is, I mean, this show is so crazy because it references a show that we've never even seen. This episode specifically does.
It does, and it's going to get into the territory of that episode Jake watched, which he is forbidden from speaking about, as it would spoil what happens.
Oh, right.
But the episode title for episode 12 is, of course, Trial by Red Eyes, or in Japanese, Black Flare, Red Eyes, Black Dragon.
Okay, let's go.
Ooh, bone status.
Now, as we all remember, we left last episode off when Joey,
yes,
our friend from Long Island, he's playing cards to prove that he's not Yugi's like dependent for tax purposes. Like to prove
he also
that
he got in a sexual fist fight with his best friend Tristan that they cut out.
Right,
show.
And it was either look, you can play this game or you can fuck Tristan. And one of those has got to happen right now.
It's so funny to me that there's the guy, the main character is named Yu-Gi-Oh! And then there's like Bakura and all this crazy shit. And then this other guy is just like, and I'm Tristan, your friend from work.
Right! Tristan! It's like, yeah, I'm your prep school friend, Tristan, from Massachusetts.
And their best friend, Joey Bones.
Yeah. It's weird how some of them would be normal. I guess they're Americans or something. I don't know.
They're
well, you
not,
know what it
though.
Is they have
they're
Japanese names, and they've dumbed it down for us because they think we're a bunch of dumb sluts and they can just take us out back and have what they want. But they can't. They simply can't. And that's what this episode's all about. Because
same thing as your body
Joey
impression.
Has been battling.
That's what this campaign's and all about.
That's what this campaign's been all about. Joey has been battling Rex Raptor, the feared dino boy, who's like a boy who loves dinosaurs.
Yes.
And they're all
Rex,
afraid of
Rex
him.
Rex Raptor is his name. In
That's
case
his
you're
legal
wondering.
Name. His father is
Mr. Raptor.
Mr. Raptor.
Dr. Raptor, please.
He's the town orthopedist. And he tells you dinosaur facts.
Yeah.
Oh, the cat's going wild. Well, last episode, Joey defeated Rex's feared serpent night dragon by using the power of friendship with his friend Tristan, who you can cut the sexual tension with a knife between him and Tristan. And they both have swamp guards.
Yeah. They work as a team. One's a blue guy and one's a red guy.
One's a red guy. And they're two different ogres that are Joey's friends. And they're in the game battling on his behalf. And so this episode begins where Rex Raptor, who has laughed that they've defeated a serpent battle guard because it's funny to him that it would even happen, and plays his next card, his biggest monster of all. Even though they thought they'd beaten the biggest monster of all, because they hadn't, and it's this one, the Red Eyes Black Dragon.
I love it's only episode 12 and are already like falling into Dragon Ball territory where they're like, actually, this is the most powerful thing, I guess.
Wait,
other colors of dragon.
Is this only the 12th episode of the show?
Yeah. Well, ever? There's another season before this. Where apparently it's like a lot darker and involving much more of the shadow realm, but this is the first season that gets exported to America.
And they literally don't explain any of that previous stuff. So you don't know why Yugi is a grown man sometimes or
it's
anything
just a
like that.
different vibe to the show. Like the guns in it are edited out and replaced with fingers. And whenever somebody like hits someone, the camera just cuts away so you don't see it. It's really jarring.
Okay.
But right now there's a red eyes black dragon, which is racially inferior to the blue eyes white dragon, according to the show, but still also with the right cards, like pretty much as good. And that's just something they want to let you know as a child.
Red eye black dragon, it's like a Republican that goes on that TV show late at night on Fox News.
Yeah, the
red eye.
Oh, yeah. Like Fox's red eye.
Yeah.
Fox's red eye, black dragon.
He's got some good points. I just don't like how he's
an early career Michael Chang.
Yeah. All right.
And current.
I don't know if he went on red eye. I could just see that as a thing that happened. Anyway, there's a fucking red eyes black dragon there, and Yugi is like, "Oh, my grandfather told me about this card." And it's rumored, which is a very funny thing to say.
I thought of another angle. All right, he's just super stoned. He's red eyes, black dragon. He's just like, what's up, man?
Oh.
Here's the thing, Jay.
What's going on?
These monsters are just holograms. And they do actually finally play cards in this episode, which is nice.
I love when they play cards. But Yugi's grandfather's been telling him about this card, and it's rumored to be as strong as the blue-eyed white dragon. They have numbers on them. Am I crazy? Like,
yeah.
just, like, it doesn't need to be. Read it?
It doesn't need to be rumored. You can just see it with your eyes. It's right
I guess
there.
It's before the internet, so you'd have to like get a magazine to hear about it. But goddamn. And so it's a big deal. It's out there. It's a big dragon. Rex Raptor is a dino man, and he's in a dragon land. And Rex powers it up with dragon nails, allowing it to do an inferno fire blast, roasting both of the little trolls that Joey loves so much.
Yeah, that's what I think of your friendship, bitch.
You'll never express your love for your friend Tristan.
Yeah. Actually, so much happens in this episode. How is it only 20 minutes? Keep talking.
Well, the fight is only the first half.
Yeah.
And then it does a very uncharacteristic Yu-Gi-Oh thing where it kind of slows down for a minute. So this is the fight. Megan, their good friend, who is an important character and we love.
She does literally nothing.
She offers emotional support at important times. And she wants to go with Yugi to Las Vegas. And so she begs Yugi for an answer to defeat the damned red-eyes black dragon. And he says there is a way, but legally I cannot say it. Because before this fight started, they made me promise I wouldn't say anything. And it's like, damn, that was the one rule of the game. Is they caught on Yugi. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is really good at Yu-Gi-Oh! And that it shouldn't let him talk too much. And so Rex remembers, he's looking at the field, right? He's doing really well. Red-eyes black dragon dominating the field. He notices Joey still has Time Wizard played upside down from last episode. And that's the only thing that can beat him. And then he's like just free thinking and is like, that's the only thing that could beat me. If I had that, that's the only thing that could beat mine. So I would like to bet him on the outcome of this game, steal his card, and then I'll use that against her. And he's like, hey, Joey, I'm Raptor hard for more stakes. What if we bet cards, Joey?
And why does Mai care that he does this? It's still like in his plan to ruin him. I mean, he fucks up by pointing out the exact card that
I think Mai is so emotionally fucked up from losing to Joey Bones. Just like her entire like image of herself is like someone who doesn't lose to, let's say, New York trash like Joey Bones.
That's right. South Brooklyn, baby.
And yet he was Brooklyn strong against her and defeated her.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
And so Rex makes his bet, right? And he really shoots himself in the foot doing it because he's going to win the game for sure because Yugi's not allowed to say anything. And then Joey remembers because they're making bets about it. Oh, right. I already played Time Wizard and it's out already.
So and it's actually the only card that can beat this and also does a move that makes no fucking sense for a card game.
Well, it's the Pokemon coin flip.
But it's not a coin flip. It's a spinner. Like, if you're not playing on a... So basically, he calls on Time Wizard to do this, like, mega move where he pulls up a little spinner on his thing. And if the spinner lands on a bomb, you get the move. But if it lands on a skull, you just automatically die. But it's like, this is a hologram of a card game. So if you're playing this card game normal, do you have a spinner? Like, how does this work?
Well, first of all, if you land on a skull, you get bone status. That's what we're calling this.
You get bone status. Second of all,
sorry.
There are right. like My Magic bad. The Gathering cards where it's like, okay, metaphorically, this is a roulette wheel, but actually you're going to roll a dice or something.
Okay.
So I could see this happening, like, because it is pretty much 50% of the wheel is skulls and 50% is whatever the winning
is. Listen, this makes more sense than any explanation I have gotten about anything so far. So I appreciate it.
I think
liberal Katie torn apart by logical Jake.
Oh, I've been torn asunder.
That's right.
Yeah.
You fools. Welcome to Red Eye Black Dragon. I'm Ben Shapiro. I don't know. I like this little clock wizard guy. He's really cute. I think it's really funny that like all of the other monsters are kind of cool, and then Joey's is like, it's Mr. Potato Head. He's my favorite.
He looks like the clock from Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. And then everything else looks like it's painted on the side of a van.
Yeah.
Well, he may look like Smokey the Bear, but his effect is no forest fire.
Picnic. Come on, man.
Shit. Oh, wait.
I was thinking Yogi Bear. All right. Never mind.
No, but Smokey the Bear could have a picnic. I haven't had dinner and I've been drinking. Anyway, so...
Camping trip?
I know. Don't you Come do on. The wrap it up symbol.
Come on.
I'm going through it.
Come
as
on.
As professionally as I can. Would you ask Anderson Cooper to wrap it up as he tells the nation about one of his big scoops?
Alex, you're slurring. Just keep going.
Well, Time Wizard, fortunately for all of us, Joey bets the whole game on a coin flip. And the Time Wizard has a little spinny wand that spins all the way around and it lands on go. And Rex Raptor is just fucking tilted at this point. He's so mad. And it sends him into a time warp, which is then like happens in the hologram machine. And it seems like it like breaks the machine. Like it opens up time space and they're like, he's opened up time space. No. And we see like pictures of like cavemen and like monkeys and stuff.
Well, once again, it's like just a cool cutscene. You know what I mean? It's not actually happening.
It seemed different. It looked like they were scared during this one.
That's why I'm saying though, the logic of this makes no sense.
Wouldn't you believe it, Joey wins and the dragon is now a fossil and it falls apart. And
yeah, eat shit, Rex Raptor.
The liberals can't believe it. They're so triggered. They're like, he's not a fossil, he's a raptor. And it's like, no, he's not, you dumb bitch, he's a fossil because of my time wizard.
My favorite part is when they're all like, the dragon's okay, and there's a hedge falls off. Oh no, it's not okay.
They can't believe it.
This next part is fascinating because these kids have been brought to this island to fight in an invitation card game tournament. And this implies that part of the duties of the card game tournament is surviving the wilderness.
Survival of the fittest. Yeah.
Because they have to set up camp and they didn't bring food because they're like, I thought this was going to be at like a Holiday Inn conference center. Like,
it's because
they're
children is why. And that's why the only one with food is Mai, the 26-year-old in the children's car tournament. And so it's dark now, and they're all like rubbing their little tummies, and Mai shows up and is like, "What's up, losers? I'm eating candy, your favorite food."
Oh shit, I love candy.
Yeah, and I wrote Megan is afraid because of her female traits, because it's dark.
Yeah, then, they thought it was a lurker, but it was just a lady.
Oh, and Joey keeps trying to eat poisoned mushrooms. That's a big part of the episode.
Yeah.
And that's how they're killing time, because normally there's like no fat on any of these. It's like 15 seconds passes and then like four card moves have passed. But like they really slow it down all of a sudden.
He's eating the mushrooms because he's like, yo, these are like what you get on a big Brooklyn slice. I'm Japanese.
They make me feel like home. Look at me, everybody. I'm Mr. Met, he says, going to bite his poisonous mushroom.
Yeah, and Yugi's like, stop trying to die, Joey.
Joey, you're trash. Well, Mai shows up, and she goes, well, if you do some chores for me, I'll give you some food. I don't have any ulterior motive here, and I don't have any friends. And so she's giving all the boys chores, except for Megan, who she's like, you can take a shower, because we are girls. And
yeah,
girls
and I was
rule.
Like, my like pervert brain, I was like, well, now this is what I'm talking about.
It does seem like she was maybe leading into a grooming situation.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, let's just make the boys serve us. And oh, look, there's a shower here. Weird.
Why is there a shower? That's strange.
Because I know what's up. She's like, I'm going to be in the woods, and my whole thing is looking hot.
Because there's a section of this episode cut out of it for American audiences. Where a lot
That's
of cool
true.
Stuff happens.
Want to eat my candy bars? We'll have to kiss.
Yeah, yeah, they comb each other's hair. It's really good.
And Megan is understandably like, why are you letting me shower while they all do stuff? And Maya's like, because all dick is trash, and I'd like to throw every pipe I see in the garbage. And she's like, Jesus Christ, okay.
You're like,
and
you
so
just, she, you know, we talked the other day about the anger to horny like cross section, you know, that Ouroboros where you get it confused, and I think that's what's happening to Mai too, where she's like, I hate Joey Bones, or I want to fuck him
or
to
I
death.
Love him.
Yeah,
he's so exotic, he's blonde.
Clock Wizard is so cool, Mickey horny. Yeah.
She's only sleeping with Joey Bones to get closer to Time Wizard.
Aren't we all, baby? Yeah. Trying to outrun that Time Wizard.
And so they dig in, and they say Itadakimasu, but it's in American, so they go, time to dig in, which is very funny when everyone yells that. And then Yugi is, like, eating, and he's trying to flatter Mai, because he wants to pipe her down so bad, but it's not going to work, and it's actually pathetic. And then...
Yeah, you're fucking pathetic, Joey.
No, Yugi. Yugi is pathetic. She's down bad for Joey. We're all on the same page.
Yeah, Yugi... And once again, it's like, Yugi's supposed to be the same age as most of these kids, except for Mai, and he looks like a baby next to
them. He hasn't gone through puberty, and it's a thing that happens to a lot of men. And it's
yeah,
hard.
Some men
it's really hard for him.
Well into their 30s, still kind of look like a Yu-Gi-Oh character, and it's totally normal. Not embarrassed at all.
With the arrival of Timothy Chalamet, we're celebrating it, and it's actually something that we want now. But back then, we didn't
know the fucking adaptation.
Do not understand why adult women are attracted to that little bird body child.
He's frozen like as a boy forever.
He looks like a dying prince. Like, I just don't get it.
You know what it is? There are so many roles for dying prince that he's the perfect person to cast.
Those women are pedophiles.
No, I get him as an actor. Yes, Jake, that's what I'm getting at. I'm like, do you just want a son? Like,
you girls gotta go to jail.
They do.
Well, Mai is tired of talking to the boys, so she goes out to the seaside cliff alone, and she's like, I will never have any friends. Friends suck. and I love being a single woman.
It's so funny that Mai's plot is just like, I fucking hate friends.
She hates friends. She doesn't want to have any. And then like that, she is, of course, as a lone woman in the woods often are, gagged and kidnapped by a stranger.
Nice. A la
the fucking, I want to say Serpico killer, but that's not right.
A Zodiac killer?
Zodiac killer, Jake.
Didn't the Zodiac killer shoot people from far away, though?
Well, did you see the movie?
He, no. like, cornered people and then shot them. Like, oh, okay.
He killed so many people. He did all the ways. And then it turned out he was just some fucking guy.
He was just a connoisseur.
Supposedly, they figured out who it was recently.
Yeah, it was just some guy.
Man named.
Was he a cop? Was he the one who's a cop, or is that the Golden State Killer?
That was the Golden State Killer.
That was the Golden State Killer, which is like, of course it was a fucking cop.
Right. Oh, I can't believe there's this whole section of the population we train to kidnap people, and they've started kidnapping people.
And it turns out they're really good at it.
Yeah. The Zodiac Killer ended up being a guy named Tristan, who has a cone for a haircut.
Yeah, he would always leave a lava battle guard on his victim's corpse.
I never trust
him. Well, anyway, in all seriousness, this woman has been kidnapped, and we don't know where she went. And so we got back to the forest fire where they're all, not forest fire, the log fire, with all of our friends sitting around it, rubbing their bellies. Oh, what a yummy dinner. And they say, huh, where's Mai? Where did Mai go? She's been gone a while. Let's go look for her. Russell, Russell, there's something in the bush. Who is it? Their old friend, Bakura, from middle school.
Right, which I forgot this was even a thing, where it's literally like an offhanded comment 5 or 6 episodes ago where Megan's like, hey, is that weirdo we go to school with? Okay, let's not bring it up again for 10 episodes, I guess. Like,
right, and then close shot of Bakura and then like an eagle screech. And so Bakura's like, hey, gang, I sure would love to play Yu-Gi-Oh! Sometime. They're like, that's so funny, Bakura, me too. And he's like, not for any star chips or anything.
Just I don't for be funsies. Weird.
And so they go, okay. And they go to play Yu-Gi-Oh! With him. And then he's like, surprise!
I do appreciate that.
I have the Millennium Ring, and I'm dragging you to hell.
That's basically what happens. I do like the one time that they play a normal card game just with cards, that he's like, actually, it's the devil's game. And he calls it, what is it called again? Like night games or shadow
the
games?
The Shadow Realm?
Yeah, they're like they call it shadow games. Which Chad Vigorous explained to us that in the original Yu-Gi-Oh! Any game could be a shadow game. And when you lost, you're like banned. You're like, your mind is shattered.
Yeah, the mods so, ban you from life.
So that's why it's so great that, yeah, he suddenly reveals he also has a millennial item. And then
millennial item? Becomes, it's like a phone or something.
And then he gets a deep man voice, and then he sucks them all into the negaverse. And I'm like, now we're talking. Like, this is actual stakes. I'm okay with
Shadow
this.
Games. Where he's like, that sounds like a Bob Seger.
Shadow novel. Games, bitch.
Oh, man. Just grooving to Shadow Games.
And now we know Jake has seen the whole Shadow Game. So it's really a dangerous line we walk.
I'm not going to spoil anything. It's great, though.
I can't wait to watch it. There is one more detail that happens this episode where Bakura is like, great, I've sent their souls to hell, I'll go steal the Millennium Puzzle. And he goes up to Yugi, and then Yugi's corpse is suddenly a foot taller and has a deep voice and is like, hold up, motherfuck. Yami Yugi is here, the prince of Egypt. And so naturally they're gonna play a Yu-Gi-Oh for it next episode, and I can't
wait.
Yeah,
also Bakura got them into that game, something you should note, wink wink, is that he went, hey everyone, what's your favorite card? Like, if you were a card, what card would you be in your deck? And made a point of having them all pick a card and go, I identify with my What's
yes, it does explain because Yu-Gi-Oh says he identifies with the dark card. The dark magician, which Jake, you need to know, Yu-Gi-Oh plays that card every time and it's immediately dunked on. Like right. it never fucking works.
I remember that from watching the show growing up, is he just loves his dark magician card.
Dark magician is a lot better than the allegations against him make him sound. And I think we have to support him as other artists during this time of crisis. Yeah, I skipped that to speed up for time. But yeah, Baccarat's favorite card is the Change of Heart. And I do wonder how that will come in. The picture of it is a devil and an angel. And there's
Yeah, he's like, this is my favorite card. And it's like about being a fucking villain. And everyone's like, weird choice. Huh. And he's like, by the way, I'm the devil. Here we go.
It's like,
I've been kidnapping women.
One of those weird demons that's like a two-spirit hermaphrodite. That has like all the genitals and stuff, but he's just like, yeah. I like this card. It kind of reminds me of myself. Everyone's like, whoa, yeah, mine was a cactus, man. There's yours, Pazuzu from The Exorcist. That's pretty weird.
Yeah, mine's the Mickey Mouse clock cartoon, but that's cool too.
Meow.
Cat go wild. Okay, well, with no further ado, it's time to rate and review Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode 12. Whatever I said the name was. Starting with Katie Rose Leon out of 7 Dragon Balls, what's your review?
I mean, this episode was weird because the beginning with the card battle really lagged. But I do love that they got sucked into the Negaverse, and I'm excited to see what happens in the Negaverse, but we're not quite there yet. So I'm going to give this like 3 out of 7.
Okay. It's like, that's not fair.
A lot. It was like, whatever to me, you know.
It had a lot of heart though, Katie.
I usually really enjoy this show. I didn't hate it. I was just like, what, a lot of heart. I was just like, whatever. I bet next episode I'm gonna lose my mind. But like, it's just, I've been so spoiled with like 90s rock songs and like a sassy computer, you know. Like, it's just, the stakes are really high.
It was not the best episode we've seen so far. Jake, what do you think out of 7 Dragon Balls?
I really enjoyed watching them play the game in the show that the show is the premise for the game in real life, but they play the game in the show because that makes my head go in weird circles, and I am still American and modern and makes me want to buy things and play the game. I really want to play Yu-Gi-Oh! It looks like a fun game to play if you could play it. And is there a good video game for this? I'm trailing off.
There is. There's a Yu-Gi-Oh! Digital game. Here's the problem with Yu-Gi-Oh! Is it's been going for 20 years and they don't ban any cards. So they have a very narrow pool of competitive cards you can actually play. Because there's 5,000 of them, and they've all power crept each other. Oh. And this may be a discussion for another episode.
11 clocks out of 11.
I can't recommend enough Legends of Runeterra, the hit League of Legends digital trading card game.
I mean, I hate to say this out loud, but if you like want to play Yu-Gi-Oh, you might as well play that with Alex. It's like
it's
the
really
same.
Good. I have a series of videos you could watch.
Yeah, I'll play Legends of Runo Budo with you. Let's do it.
It's Legends of Rudo. It's Rude Tales of Magic starring Branson Reese on patreon.com. And I'll be giving this episode 4 out of 7 Dragon Balls because the battle part of it was fantastic and the kidnapping was fantastic. And there was also a lot of downtime. And so you lose 3 Dragon Balls for downtime. But overall, pretty good.
Yeah, it was cute.
I can't wait to go to hell.
Be cool. You'll never guess what happens next.
I couldn't begin to guess.
Jake Flores, do you have any plug-a-plug-a-choo-choo before we get going?
You know, yes, all thank my you for coming shit, on. Man. If you're listening to this, you probably know I am. Pod Damn, America, and Why You Mad, and my album's on Spotify and shit. It's called Bad Omen, and I'm Feral Jokes on everything. And I'm looking to get into Yu-Gi-Oh cards, so hit me up. Let's play a game.
My plug is to send Jake a direct message about Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
That's my plug, too.
All right.
And now this hit song.